This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Amina Figueroa. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the program Amina Figueroa. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
It's great to have you on the program. Amina is a pianist composer, well known, I'm sure, by members of our audience, particularly those who are inclined towards jazz. 13 recordings, is that?
That's correct.
13 recordings, and the most recent of which is Blue Whisper. And I do want to talk a little bit about that recording, and we definitely want to feature some music from that, as well as from your other recordings. Where I wanted to start this was when I talked to folks who have come to us from an interesting place. Now, obviously, you live in Manhattan now.
That's right. That's right. My home now.
And not that there's not plenty to talk about Manhattan, but originally from Azerbaijan.
That's right.
And am I pronouncing that correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay. I wanted to ask you to kind of take us there. I've never been there, and I'm always fascinated to hear about other places that I haven't been to.
Well, Azerbaijan is really the biggest part of Eurasia. And it has all kinds of ingredients. It has a little of the Middle East. It has a little maybe of North Africa, but also very strong European roots. So hard to pinpoint what is it about. But the musically, our culture based on mugam and improvisation. So the singers, the mugam singers, mugam is the music from Azerbaijan, and it's also spread around to other Middle Eastern countries. And music is the singers that or instrumentalists that play this music, they improvise based on scales. So in jazz, we improvise based on chord changes, and they're based on scales. And the singers would improvise based on scales, and they will improvise the lyrics. So it's very improvisational music. Plus, we have a very rich rhythmic tradition. So you have a combination of very rhythmic music and improvisation. So that's why jazz landed immediately in Azerbaijan. So that's how I grew up. And although I grew up as a classical musician, I was surrounded by that and also by jazz, because my parents and mainly my mother was crazy about Oscar Peterson and Errol Garner and Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald. So I grew up listening to that.
Now, Amina, you mentioned the warmth of the area.
Yes.
Let's go back to Azerbaijan and just get into that a little bit, like the geography, the climate, the food, just some of the non-musical things that someone might experience if they went there maybe for the first time.
Well, it's in Caucasus. It's in the Low Caucasus. So we are Caucasians. It has nothing to do with our skin color or anything. We're Caucasians because we're from Caucasus, which means that we're very temperamental people and we're from the south. It lays on Caspian Sea. Food is very different. It's maybe a little close to Persian kitchen, but in a way, because we're right at the Caspian Sea, so anything you can imagine, sturgeon, caviar, pilafs, barbecues, and lots of dishes, Italian-like pasta dishes, but then a little different. So lots of dumplings. I mean, if I just say it, it all sounds so different and diverse,
yeah,
but
true.
It's Azerbaijan, you know. Okay. 50 years ago or 30 years ago or today, or I'm sure tomorrow, you'll travel to Azerbaijan, you go to any restaurant and there will be a live band and people would be dancing and eating. This is what matters. You know, we like to celebrate. We have lots of different nationalities living together. So we don't like to go deep into religions, but we do like to celebrate every good thing, like New Year or something. Mm-hmm. So it's about having a good time, good food, good music, and that's what the country's about.
Thank you.
Amina, we talked a little bit about the kind of music that you grew up listening to. Let's get into when you formed into a musician, a pianist, and a composer. What were the kind of the pivotal moments that brought you to your instrument and then brought the music out in you? And how early did you start composing?
Well, what brought me to the instrument, we had a piano at home, and I believe I was 2 years old when I start touching it. And actually, my mother just showed me that I could use one finger at a time. And although she was not a musician, she just could play piano a little, but she was a psychiatrist. But she showed me that a little. And since then, I was trying to find the songs that I've heard on TV and the radio. That was when I was 2 years old. And when I was 3 years old, I wrote my first piece.
Time out. 3 years old?
Yes. Huh? Yes. I was walking with my grandfather at the seaside, and I forgot in the park, I forgot a little children's book that I had with me, and I came home singing it, and then I went to piano and I played it, and of course I couldn't write notes, so my mother recorded it, and so it started. Like every day I sing something else, and I go to piano and I find the chords, and I found the way how to express it exactly. And so I was basically writing every day. And then also because since I was that age, I clearly saw notes in colors. So the compositions would be in blue, in purple, in pink, in yellow, in green, in brown. And so I had many of those color compositions. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's fantastic. This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Amina Figueroa. Amina, we talked a little bit about composition and its beginnings in your life at a very, very early age. And I love that. I love that on a number of levels. I think that, I mean, I imagine a lot of children are essentially composing. We don't necessarily call it that. Maybe not to the degree that you were, but it kind of speaks to, you know, the very earliest parts of our creativity as human beings. But I loved how you talked about it in terms of colors. And a lot of musicians will talk about that and trying to get back to that state of mind. You know, once they've gone through conservatory training and have studied theory backwards and forwards, a lot of times they're wanting to go back to that root of their creativity. So I love you talking about that. Talk to us about the compositional process at this point. Obviously, I would imagine as you're composing things now, certainly listening to your music, it sounds like there are many factors that go into the composition of your music that are not necessarily musically inspired. And I mentioned before we started the interview, I want to give credit to listening to your interview with Mary McPartland on Piano Jazz, and you talking a little bit about some of the inspirations behind your compositions, and some of these were almost cinematic, maybe. So talk about in general maybe the compositional process for you at this point.
You know, it's a very mysterious process. I cannot pinpoint to and say this is how it happens. I do visualize a lot. For me, actually, indeed, it is a cinematic process almost all the time. I see things that I can't describe, and I see things that I do. I know how to describe. And it comes in different ways. It comes in pictures, in shapes, in colors, in textures, in feelings, and still almost like visual. Sometimes it comes just from certain sound or sound of the train. It can be a conversation that comes back to me in once, and it start making some music sense. So I never know where the inspiration come from next. And the very interesting experience for me personally was the time I wrote September 11th Suite, which is tribute to mourning. Actually, it's more than just September 11th, so it's a tribute to mourning. I was not living in New York, but I was in New York at the time. You know, I was hurting with everybody else. So I start almost like collecting library in my head of different sound combinations that describe all colors and shades of pain and hurt. And I think that changed my writing at the time. And even if I don't write any, you know, heavy music like that, still it changed because I hear more of these textures in the music, because adding those, let's say, painful colors combining with some beautiful light colors bring something different and rich. That was a very significant moment in my writing career.
Amina, we wanted to talk some about the most recent recording, Blue Whisper. There's some really terrific work in here. And hearing that within the context of the scope of your work, it seems like that's a significant step for you in some ways. And in particular, I wanted to talk about, and I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing this correct, Hua? the
Heba.
Heba. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's spelled H-E-W-A, so yeah. I can give myself a little bit of slack there. But with lyrics and vocals in Swahili, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
So I want to talk about that, but maybe let's start in general with the recording of this album and maybe just some of the journey that you walked in getting to that place.
This is my second album since I moved to New York. The first one was 12, and that was all about New York experiences living in New York City. And Blue Whisper, the significance of this album that I have a new band. So it's a new sound because, of course, that's what makes the sound, the musicians, right? I was in process of moving from Queens to Manhattan, and there were lots of things going on in our life. And so it was all very disturbing and distracting me from actually even just doing music. And at a certain point, I told myself, enough. I need to feed myself, and the music started bursting out of me.
Let's talk about the tune we mentioned, that's Swahili. How did that come about, the use of that language?
I've been a few times to South Africa, to Johannesburg and to Cape Town, and every time I'm in South Africa, I feel something very different. I feel like skies are bigger, there's more air, and there is certain vibe to the country that I can't describe. So I'm actually in love with South Africa. Actually, Swahili is not the language of South Africa. It's more of the East and West. I don't know why, but I still wanted that sound. And I know a lady who is a Swahili. It's her native language. So I worked more as if haiku in Swahili, so just write sentences that would describe the way I feel. No rhyme, nothing, just a sentence. I never write lyrics, but in this case it would be like, that's the way I feel. Sky is bigger than love, you know, expressions like that. So she translated, and then I asked a wonderful singer from New York, Sarah Elizabeth Charles, to sing it, and so she did. As you know, for any genre, whether it's pop or singer-songwriter or country, you know, we have those lyrics that we sing on music, and that's how it is. But in this case, because those are just phrases that can mix in any way, I told her, like, just, you know, play with these words throughout melody and these phrases just the way you want. And if tomorrow another singer want to do the song, she doesn't have to do the same. She can take those phrases and work the same way, but then differently, you know. It's as if you will get some melody and you will have a couple of phrases like, I love you, I love my life, or something, you know, very banal, I don't know. And you will keep on singing the same, you know, different phrases on different spots. So it's kind of different from traditional song.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Amina Figueroa. Amina, with your immersion in music and composition and performances and recordings and so forth, I'm sure that is incredibly, incredibly consuming. What do you do outside of that for fun?
That's what I do for fun.
No, I know you. Obviously, it's very fun for you.
It takes all your time. I do produce albums of other people, and I'm writing for other people. So, actually, my life exists of writing for myself or writing for others, producing my own music of others. That's the difference. And if I find any time, I read. That's fun, and I love walking around the city. I love this, and going to museums if I have time, but I had no time to go to museum past months.
Well, let's talk about what's the latest book that sits on your bed table.
Oh, I'm reading right now, because we travel, I have time on the plane. I'm reading a wonderful book. It's Autobiography by Quincy Jones.
Do you get back to Azerbaijan?
Yes, I do. I played a few times, yes, I do go back from time to time, yes.
AminaFigueroa.com is the name of Amina's website. I'm going to spell your name for folks just to make sure they get it right. AminaFigueroa, AminaFigueroa.com. And that's where you can find out more about Amina's music and all the things that she's doing and immersing herself in. Thank you so much for being a guest on Musician Spotlight. It's been a real pleasure talking shop with you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be back in Montana.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Amina Figueroa. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Daily Jazz Series for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.